Welcome back to another episode of Scenario Podcast. We are back. We're giving y'all Christmas edition.
Christmas.
Yes, on Christmas. Yeah. Hopefully y'all downloaded this.
We was going to do this before or after, but we said, you know, hump week Christmas. Most inconvenient Christmas New Year's combination
always.
Of all time.
It's always the worst.
Like, how can you have... I don't think holidays like this should be allowed to drop on Wednesday.
Like, you should just automatically move it around?
Yeah, it should either be a Tuesday or a Thursday. It should always hop Wednesday, though. Because then you can link your weekend.
Yeah.
But this is weird. Like, I've had to do, like, I've, like, half worked. Like, yep. Half had things to do. You know, and then you get into the point where it's like, you know, after New Year's Day, January 2nd, it'd just be like, all right, well, back to real life.
You'd be like, damn, I mean, we just got off.
And then, see, and that's a Thursday. So at least the start of the year would be real quick. But it's still kind of like, damn, you know.
Here we go.
Either I feel like every holiday of significance should be on Tuesday or Thursday, though, just because it links the weekend. I don't want to lose my weekend day.
Right.
So keep it off that Friday.
And keep
Monday
it off
might be okay.
Keep it off Saturday and Sunday, too.
Yeah, don't let anything hit on Saturday and Sunday. My birthday is on Sunday next year.
It's like, fuck.
And it's like, what do I do with that? I have like 4 drinks now and I have a headache. I can't even like live the life that I want to live anymore.
It's real quick.
I need a whole day to lay down after.
We'll take off. You got to take off the day afterwards.
That's the worst thing about getting old. Some people don't like gray hair. Some people don't like stuff
it's
like
not being
that.
Able to drink well.
Yeah, I don't like being able to not have, you know, 6-7 drinks.
Shout out to your superstar who I saw out earlier this week.
Oh, yeah, he was in town.
Yeah, yeah. So I got to catch up with him, and, you know, I mentioned to him, I was like, are you the one he mentioned to, and he called him the Death Star for chapters? And I was like, he's like, no, that wasn't me. No,
wasn't.
No, I knew it wasn't. I was messing with him,
though.
And he was like, he started bugging. He's like, but I wonder who it is. He was like, the Death Star. I was like, that's what he called the Death Star. I was like, he was like, the Death Star. I was like, yeah, he called it the Death Star. Like, that motherfucker come over there and swing that, that beam around.
He's the end of days. Brought many a chapter to their knees.
Shout out to that brother.
Like,
I know what he is.
He's like Palpatine. He's just plotting behind the scenes.
And he comes back.
But then it's a legacy. It sticks around. Like,
they clone him.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's jump into our emails, man. First one comes from our man, Daniel Hurd. Shout out to Daniel, man. SLU grad and also your frat brother.
Good brother. Good
real good brother. Hold up. Let me get to it here. A little slow on the trigger. All right. He says... this is a funny story about famous black people. Y'all should do a quick top five of the most black famous people that white people don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And this one was the one coming from, this all spurred from white people. When Tom Joyner retired last week, white people didn't know who this guy that was that had been on the radio for over 25 years.
Right.
And they were like, who? And it's like, and you think about it, why would black people know who Tom Joyner is if you think about it for real?
Yeah, it's weird. It's kind of like Howard Stern. Is really important to white people, but I don't know a ton of black people just sit around listening to Howard Stern.
I think black people know more about white culture than white people know about black culture. Period.
Now that's an interesting fracture right there.
I
think that white people know way more about black culture because they go to even greater steps to have it for themselves.
Traditionally, no, though, they don't know who Clifton Powell is.
Well, but they got people that we don't know too, like Mitch McConnell. Until he mess up, and you're like, oh, that's one of y'all people.
That's true, but I don't think like Howard Stern had like a TV show on E and like
Howard
a movie.
Stern's he's probably not the best example.
Yeah.
But here's the thing: I probably don't know their equivalent of Tom Joyner.
Oh, would be what's his name? What's his name, man? It's a country dude that I just learned about. That's the equivalent of him. He's been on like 30 years.
But
like Travis, something like that.
When you start to look at the money that like people make, like we find out about some of them just because they do outrageous shit, like Rush Limbaugh. Like you just like that dude makes crazy money for being a straight out bigot. Like, you know,
more than anything.
That's what it is. But so like things are like really important to us. Like we want to do this like as a longer form episode, so we're not going to go as far into it right now.
But we're going to come back.
We're going to really come with some hitters and some format for you probably shortly after the new year. But a few things that jump off my mind are like Frankie Beverly.
Yeah, Frankie Beverly easily.
Like,
yeah.
He got to be in there.
Clifton Powell, like I said.
Okay.
Who is a national treasure on the low? Like when he passes, he's got to go on the day. On the,
Drag On.
Yeah, they don't know who Drag On is. Black people, a lot of black people don't know who Drag On is.
Memphis Bleek.
No, I think the Jay-Z Association keeps him alive. Seminally.
Yeah, he matters. He's
seminally, like...
A black person who's important to black people, but not to white people, or more important.
Right, or they don't know who they are, and they're like, wow.
Like, if somebody is completely famous for us, and they just have no awareness of it all.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't say some of the way that some people have been treated, like, makes them even bigger amongst black people. Like, right. Like Vic...
Well, that's different because white people know him and he's infamous to them. To them, I'm talking about where they be like with Tom Jordan, they be like, who? I don't know the equivalation for that. I'm trying to think of some more people offhand. Frankie Beverly is definitely one. Is Babyface? Do white people know who Babyface is?
Teddy Riley.
You
Teddy
think
Riley
white
definitely has to be.
But he did Michael stuff though, so there. I guess there would be, maybe there's an age discrepancy for white people.
But they know Michael. They don't know who did.
Did the stuff. They don't know who produced it.
I think Teddy Riley definitely would fall into that.
You think more than Babyface?
Yeah.
You think white people know Babyface more than Teddy Riley?
Yeah. Babyface is a bigger independent artist.
Okay. That's a good one, man. It's until,
like, Samuel Jackson was that for a long time.
That's what I'm saying. Also, the Keith David is one of those too.
Yeah, I guess so.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he's a voice of the Navy commercial, but they don't know who he is.
Yeah.
He's been voicing Navy commercial like 20 some years.
That's true.
Dennis Haysbert, who's the All-State commercial dude.
Oh, no, now he's a guy. Like, he's at a point of reference. Like, he's famous to us and to them for the same things. Like, we watch the same shows. And
he's been on some of those same shows.
Yeah,
like,
oh, yeah, that's the dude for 24. Oh,
yeah, that's what they say, the dude for 24.
Jack Serrano from Major League. You know, he's like one of them people. You're like, oh, man, I know you. He's like one of those people. Black Panther was like that until the movie came out for fictional characters. We all knew who Black Panther was, but it's like, oh, man, not everybody.
Yeah, you know what? You're right. Around, like, 99, 2000-ish, everything kind of got more, I think, melded. This is more of a conversation of stuff pre-late 90s. I think pre-late 90s, you could be singularly black, famous.
Alexander O'Neal?
Definitely. 100%. Now, that's only in the U.S. He's big in Europe.
Yeah, that's
true. He's big in Europe. That's U.S. white people.
Yeah.
He's big in Europe.
Well, those are the only ones I can really count.
That's true, too. Because European people kind of want to seem like they're a little bit more eclectic with the shit
they
want to get down.
Well, they take culture as a whole because it's so far away. There's not as many pockets. It's like American culture, whereas we got subcultures.
A gang of them.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of some.
Oh, no, man.
It's some comedians. It's probably some. It's a lot of black comedians that white people.
Oh, I heard this, and this is like a great transition for what I want to talk about. Like, somebody said that on Eddie Murphy's episode of SNL, I think it was on Bill Simmons' show. Bill Simmons said this is like, that's the Mount Rushmore of black comedians that was on stage. I was like, absolutely not.
No.
I was like, absolutely not.
No.
Bernie Mac.
Yeah. If he said it alive, maybe. He can get away with that. Oh, he could have got away with not saying he's right.
But all he said was the only person missing was Richard Pryor. So I feel like he was.
Oh, well, yeah. Oh, well, then, yeah. No,
yeah,
Bernie Mac.
That's a white person that doesn't know famous black people.
Yeah.
Outside the lens of sports.
Yeah.
Like, because it's like Bernie Mac said is still alive. You know, when you talk about like famous?
Yeah, Bernie Mac. I mean, it's a few, man. I mean, George Wallace.
Red Fox.
You could go Flute Wilson. Like, yeah, I mean, it's a lot of cats.
It's hellish, yeah.
Like, you can't just pick... I mean, I guess if you've got forced to pick four, you could pick four. But it's a deeper kind of conversation with that. Even more than sports, I think. I think that would be for black
people. Where do you think that black people have the most people that are just famous to them? I think it's in music. Because sports is kind of consumed by everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to be an amazing
I think
black
comedy,
athlete.
Man. I think comedy.
Comedy, think so?
Because you got to think, there's still black
like
nights
Robin
for
Harris.
Comedy. Right. There's black nights for comedy still.
So
you got to think,
like
we'll know somebody.
We got to call this the Hennessy All-Stars or something.
like Bruce. Like,
yeah.
White people not, but Bruce will pack out the fucking Helium, like, for the weekend, though.
Mm-hmm.
And it won't be a black, white person in there.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I'm thinking somebody like that, a Bruce or Don D.C. Curry. Those type of cats.
Who's like a historical figure that they don't know about?
Ooh, that's a comedian?
No, just a
historical figure they don't know?
Historically famous black person is just like...
Well, they didn't know who Nat Turner was until recently. Mm-hmm. They kind of forgot that one. They kind of skip over
Mega
that one.
Evers? I feel like, who are the crossover sensations, black history people?
Martha King is the king.
Like, Martha
King. Obviously. Malcolm X has come up because of the movies and
Harriet
stuff like
Tubman.
That. Harriet Tubman's a crossover.
Barack Obama, obviously.
Yeah.
But we had like pre-1970s black
people. Okay, so we got
like the people that you grew up with having the little thing, the cards on the wall in school,
or the white people that would get accidentally would get the Budweiser African American Kings calendar in the mail.
No,
and they got on the wrong mailing list. They got that really happened for real to me.
I know. Does Don Cornelius count?
Definitely.
I think white people watch Soul Train though.
But see, that's
because Soul Train introduced Motown to a lot of places it wouldn't have got to otherwise.
But also Motown got introduced by being on like the Ed Sullivan show and shit like that.
Yeah.
But, and Johnny Carson and stuff like that.
Well, that was crossover for everybody. It's like black people found out about white stuff and white people found out about black stuff because of those shows.
Yeah.
But like, you know, I mean, I think that Don Cornelius is famous enough to have his own thing.
Okay.
But like, who's a black TV star?
I think Arsenio Hall was crossover, but now he means more to black people than he does to white people now.
Okay, I'd say the whole cast at that time of In Living Color was massively famous with black people, not as much for white people.
Even Jim Carrey was more funny with black people at one point than now. Mm-hmm. Until The Mask. No, Ace Ventura.
Ace Ventura was first.
Before Ace Ventura?
I think so. Pretty sure.
But whenever he did one of those, that's when he crossed over.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. We have to think about this. We got to break out.
The whole cast of Girlfriends is a show that is strictly a black show that we adorn and love.
Okay.
The Game.
That's fair.
Even though The Girlfriends was produced by Kelsey Grammer.
Kelsey Grammer was kind of plugged in though.
Yeah, he understands the game though. He like, oh, I'm gonna get a whole bunch of black women in a comedy. Oh,
like, I can sign up. Network TV like NBC, CBS, white people know about it. Like Benson and shit like that. Like you can't. They don't know about that. But like a show that's still like important to black folks.
Is Martin crossed over?
White folks, yeah, Martin's crossed over. Martin's in syndication. We just love it more than they do. It's kind of like
they had to get it on the back end because it came on the same time Seinfeld came on.
Yeah, I watched Seinfeld on the first run.
Right, but I'm saying, but you were one of the black people that was going doing both. You was flipping back and forth.
Yeah. I had to cater to all sides and things. Interesting. But it's a, we don't think about
this. Is the Cosby Show is it only for black people now?
The Cosby Show might only be for offenders now. But speaking of which, where are things at now, man? Hey, yo, man. So I don't want to, jump the gun or anything, be
the hype beast.
Prone to hyperbole or anything. But I feel like Eddie overwhelmed on SNL this weekend.
Yes.
So Eddie Murphy made his return after 35 years 35. To Saturday Night Live.
Because he had beef with Lorne Michaels for a long time.
Yeah. And so I think that might have been the most unified black TV experience in some time that didn't have to do with a war show or something like that.
I can see that.
Like everywhere. I can see that. Everywhere on Facebook, I saw people. Eddie, Twitter, Eddie, people talking about it. People that probably didn't even watch Eddie's first run, because I was too young. Obviously, if he hasn't been on there 35 years, I missed most of it. Because Eddie was only on there for 3 years.
Yeah.
But it was the most time-stamped 3 years.
And you know who he replaced, right?
Who?
Robert Townsend. Robert Townsend showed up to work, and they was like, no, we got this other cat. You good.
So does Robert Townsend feel about Eddie Murphy the way?
No, they good.
Because Eddie Murphy feels about Bill Cosby?
We can No. Robert Townsend always showed the love. He was just like, that wasn't Eddie's fault. Eddie didn't even know he was replacing Robert Townsend.
Right.
Until, because Robert Townsend was, at that time, people, y'all don't understand, there was a time period where there could be one black guy on shows.
It was like Highlander.
Yeah. And previously it was Garrett Morris on Saturday Night Live.
Right.
And then he got replaced by Eddie Murphy.
Yes.
Then Eddie Murphy, there's a time period, Damon Wayans was replaced Eddie Murphy for an episode. And he did a cop as Blaine from that we is now as on Men on Films, but he did the cop gay and they were like, we don't do that.
Mm.
And he did it live.
Yeah.
But he did a cop, but he was gay. And it was one of those background figures, y'all. Like he wasn't the main person. He's like the cop coming to arrest somebody that was doing the main sketch.
Yeah.
But he came in as a gay guy and arrested him.
Yeah, that's like, hold on.
You gotta get fired.
So like I was sitting there watching it and like my hope was is that they would do a couple of Eddie's favorite characters. Yes. I feel like Eddie's characters
are iconic.
Have stood the test of time more than most, like the wide variety of characters that he had. Because a lot of people do like characters that are famous, that people like the Bears and you know, the mm-hmm. copy man and stuff like that.
The cheerleaders, the super cheerleaders.
Yeah, right. Yeah. The Night at the Roxbury, you know, stuff like that. They even did a movie. Wayne's World. You know, movies came from that stuff. But like Eddie's.
At one point, we got to put a button on what is the best Saturday Night Live transition sketch to movie?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Probably Wayne's World.
So. I was going to say Wayne's World.
But no, we can check that out. But he did most of them. Man, Mr. Robinson living in the gentrified. So let's go step by step. So Mr. Robinson's
neighborhood.
Mr. Robinson's neighborhood, where he's talking about how gentrified it is, and he get mad at people because he stole their 72-inch TV.
The funniest part is like this 23andMe got people saying that this 23 kids is that I'm their daddy.
Mm-hmm. And he jumped out the window to get away from that kid at the door. Like Mr. That was like perfect segue. Yeah. But after the first, I was like. Oh,
y'all going there.
Yeah.
Y'all going
like,
there.
Immediately like, oh shit, this is.
He's like squatter's rights.
So then
the main thing I learned is Eddie still got this shit.
Eddie, it was like riding a bike, man.
Y'all, look, I have even more faith in his stand up now.
Oh,
especially from his monologue.
I was in the minority because I never doubted Eddie.
I was on a little bit like, okay, let me see.
It's just like anything else you don't do.
It's like seeing a trailer. I need to see the trailer.
Yeah, it's just
and
like,
I saw the trailer.
I feel like Eddie is a genius, and I don't feel like genius fades.
I agree.
You know, so I mean, I just think that you can get away from it, and you might not trust it as much, but I don't think it fades. So anyway, before we talk about some sketches, though, we got to talk about that beginning, though, because I was like, I didn't feel like Eddie was going to come out and like do like 5 minutes of stand up because I don't really do that with the opening monologue anymore. But, you know.
No, because you see he cussed the whole time.
Oh, he getting caught up. Yeah. It was like when The Rock on WWE, and they're like, hey, we're a family show now. And he'd be like, I'm laying the smack down on that candy ass, and you can stop looking at the people's package. And if you don't want me to talk like this, I don't have to come around here and give you the ratings that you're getting
from me. So what do you want to do?
So what would you rather have? But yeah. So, I mean, you know, you see Chris Rock. You see Chappelle, you see Tracy Murray. Tracy Murray.
Morgan.
Tracy Murray played in the NBA. Yeah. Tracy Morgan came up on stage. And I'm just like, damn, they just bringing all the brothers out. I said, they turning this into the cookout.
Yep.
But then white dude walked out there and they took him away. And then Keenan moved him like, no, we don't need that right now. And then Keenan's standing there. I'm like, what are you doing here?
But I respect Keenan, though. He's been the longest 10-year person on SNL.
Yeah, I feel like he's there because the other stuff ain't there, though.
Nah, Keenan, man, he's had some good sketches, though, man.
Okay, so you're going to be a Keenan defender.
Yes, I am.
Hey, every time
That Black Jeopardy shit is based off of him.
Oh, that's hilarious. That's hilarious.
It's in some of the best. If you name some of the best sketches, Black Jeopardy is up there for SNL history.
It can be.
Yeah, what do you mean it can be? It is.
It's all right.
What? It is. There's no question.
SNL history?
Yes.
But
Black Jeopardy, dude, like, that's hilarious.
I mean, I know why you like it.
Why? Because I would be on there?
Because you like, if it's got a black in front of it, you willing to
No, that's not true.
Why you sit here with a white Sox hat on? You hypocritical motherfucker. You know they got black Sox hats, right?
Right, right. But it's in the black part of town, though.
But there was some I didn't think is like when Buckwheat came out, I was like, okay.
I thought they was gonna have a good shot though, like you know when Buckwheat got shot. Yeah. I thought it was gonna be like, I know I got shot the last time.
Buckwheat got shot. I thought he might have the same shirt on. Or
yeah, I know. That'd have been hilarious.
He killed Buckwheat, and then Buckwheat came back, and I was like, Buckwheat's doing
okay.
I was like. And the fact they keep spelling the words out.
That was like to give you like the no.
That's
like
that's my favorite part about me. Like other than when he was singing Nookin' for Nub in all the wrong places.
Oh man!
But,
and then Gumby.
Oh, see, Gumby is when I feel like he got comfortable.
I'm back in it.
I feel like the first couple skits he was kind of getting through it. Even Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood was good. But I feel like Gumby is when he really locked in. Was like, oh, I can really do whatever I want. But,
like, I got this shit.
He was talking crazy to Michael
Shea. Dude, when the elves, though, he was doing the elf.
Oh, yeah. That was. And you know what? And the dope thing about that was a throwback to, like, one of his early skits. One of his earliest skits.
Yeah, yeah.
With the panicked-ass black dude. That was really, truly acting how black dudes act in real life.
And then on TV, too. I saw the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you always got one of those people. I saw the whole thing.
Yeah, they was like, we're going to bring, it doesn't matter what my name is.
But man, shout out to Eddie with that, man.
Oh, Velvet Jones.
Oh, Velvet Jones. On the Black Jeopardy, though, he's like, in my new book.
How to be an Instagram hoe. I was like, oh, man, this dude is. Oh, but my favorite one, though, was the Christmas table.
Yeah, when they were showing all the different things that's really happening,
I immediately was like, "Oh, they got this from Daryl House."
That's exactly it. 100%. That's exactly what I thought. I was like, "Man, this motherfucker right here, we finna fight." Hey, no, that's real. Hey, that's real, man. Yeah, shout out to that, man. So, a lot of people, I don't know how many people dislike some of those comedians. Like, a lot of people, like a lot of regular. I won't say that. There's a section of black people that think Chris Rock is not funny.
Yeah, I mean, I don't put him up there like the elite stand-ups, but he's definitely
I put funny. Him up there in elite stand-ups.
I don't, but I mean...
He's not an elite actor, comedic actor, but he is an elite stand-up.
I mean, he's got to be upper rungs because he's... Look at where he's gotten in his life. But, I mean, when I look at like all the other stand-ups that I consider to be the best, I wouldn't put him on top five.
Really? Who would you put up over him?
Got Chappelle for sure.
Okay.
Absolutely Chappelle. I got Eddie for sure.
But see, I can't put Eddie in that.
Why can't you? Eddie's got two of the most famous stand-ups.
Yeah, but it's like one of those things of like saying...
Nobody has
been... No, it's because you got other people have been more consistent longer is what I'm saying.
It doesn't matter though. It's like saying to somebody, you're basing it on longevity. Sometimes your peak stands with other people's longevity. And Eddie's peak stands with other people's longevity. Eddie would have kept doing that if Eddie wouldn't have got too famous to be standing on stage telling jokes. Eddie just was too famous for that. Then that's another testament to how strong his stand-up was. So, who did I say? Eddie, Red Fox, Richard Pryor. No, I didn't say Red Fox. I said Eddie. I said Chappelle. Mm-hmm. I got Richard Pryor for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Richard Pryor. I got Bernie Mac.
Okay.
And I got Red Fox. I got Red Fox ahead of Chris Rock.
Okay.
For sure.
So you don't have no white comedians in your top five?
Well, I was just talking about my black
comedians. Oh, you said my black comedians. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with all of those. I would put Rock in my... Rock is in my top three.
I mean, and I feel like kind of like how you were saying about Eddie is kind of more how I feel about Martin. Well, I think Martin is an awesome-ass MC.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, something like his peak, like You're So Crazy is like a peak comedy moment for that. But I feel like Martin is hella funny as a stand-up, but I don't put him as like top five.
No, he's not top five to me. I feel like he's fell off comedically.
Well, I just think that he was the same way as like kind of like Jamie Foxx, who had funny stand-ups, but he got more famous. There was other stuff to do.
To do, yeah, okay.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just, what are you going to do? You going to stand on stage and do stand-up jokes? You going to go and make $20 million to do a movie? That ain't even competition.
Yeah.
And Eddie cashed out. I mean, Eddie's top four most famous person of the 80s. You're not gonna get that.
You could do the top but beginning of the 90s too. You could add that as part of beginning of the 90s too.
Eddie, I mean, Eddie is timelessly. Eddie's the most successful stand-up comedian.
It's not even a question.
Like, there's probably only...
Richard Pryor's the only other one.
He's probably top five most successful comedians of all time, period.
Yeah, it's him, Seinfeld, Pryor, Leno. Only reason I put Leno up there...
Letterman would be more successful.
Though. You think Letterman is more successful than Leno?
Yeah.
And then what's the dude that everybody sleeps on that is like the highest paid comedian? I forgot his name. Indian dude. I know people are yelling now. he's the highest paid comedian of the last like 15 years.
That one dude was getting hella, but Dane Cook was getting paid. Like,
yeah, no, he's higher than Dane Cook anymore.
Gabriel Iglesias getting paid.
Yeah, no, this dude, he's worldwide like... Oh man, what is his name, man?
Fill us in with that one.
Yeah, man. Russell Peters.
Okay.
Russell Peters. Yes. Yeah, Russell Peters.
But Eddie's back. I hope that kind of lets people feel a little better about what's going to be coming from Eddie. Mm-hmm. You know, him being out there. I'm looking forward to the stand up. I think he's
coming to America too now. I'm looking forward to that.
He's still going to have to do his rounds. He's still going to have to get, you know, back to where he Eddie's never going to be the guy that he was. Because he's just not the same person as he was
anymore. But like you said, I got 10 kids now. Yeah. Like,
he says, I'm America's dad.
Yeah, now. Whoa. Let's talk about this for a second.
Top five most bitch slap comments.
And you see Bill Cosby responding, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, I did.
So that's when you know the beef is real. Like, that, Bill couldn't even take that as just being a joke.
Yeah.
Because the beef is real.
Because Bill ain't never liked him. And now he out here shining, and Bill is...
He ain't like none of those guys on that stage.
Right. No, hell no.
And they add Martin in there too, and you know everybody from the Kings of Comedy.
Bill's top is probably the number one most. I mean,
he's the biggest hater.
Yeah, he's probably the biggest hater of all time.
Yeah,
as far as like hating against your own people,
mm-hmm.
because Bill's from that era of there can only be one of us, so it's gonna be me. Mm-hmm. So I ain't letting nobody.
The hell of the shit.
I ain't letting nobody else come in and take my shine.
I didn't even think about that. He was on thinking of some Howard shit.
He's the. All right, this is how it's gonna be. This is how it's gonna be. Sammy Davis Jr. is gonna sing, and I'm gonna tell jokes.
And I let Sammy do a little comedy.
A little bit. Just enough.
As long as
he starts singing soon.
Because he can't do more than 5 minutes.
Sammy Davis Jr. probably would have got Bill Cosby knocked, though.
Yeah.
He knew them guys.
Yeah, he did.
Because them guys had to co-sign Sammy being on stage in the first place.
Look, Sammy was hanging out with them cats, and they was letting him mess with white women in front of them. Yeah. So he had to be super co-signed. Yeah. In his time...
He had the Jack Johnson pass.
Yeah, even Jack Johnson got locked up.
Yeah, he did.
Sammy's got the most passes of any black man of the past... Period. Because he was able to flaunt white women with them. Like, oh, it's all good. This is Sammy.
Yeah, he was treating white women like stocking stuffers. Like, I got another white woman in all my treating.
He said like stocking stuffers.
Goddamn, look at that. Well, thank you. I
appreciate it. Like stocking stuffers, man. All
right, man. So let's get into a couple of quick hits, man, we got for the week here. I'm going to put this underneath the WTF for the week right here. Okay. I'm confused as exactly to how this happened. But, the headline that really made it for me is that the USDA takes Wakanda off of its free trade state list. Now I've been giving people blues from the beginning about people seeing this movie. Now they're probably on Southwest trying to see what a flight cost to get to Wakanda.
Yep.
But I'm just like, just let they dumb ass off over Central Africa and just keep flying. Push them out the plane. Just like Wakanda right underneath you. Good luck. Dumb ass.
Come on, man.
You gotta find International Spirit Airlines flight to find Wakanda.
Spirit, or what was this? What was the movie? Soul Plane.
You gotta get the Soul Plane. I would put their ass on a flight to Detroit and be like, here you go, Wakanda. It's Auburn Hills.
The Auburn Hills.
But so according to The Grill this week, the United States Department of Agriculture, which initially listed Wakanda on their free trade agreement partners list, has taken Wakanda off of the list. My question is this. Who the hell authorized this to be a thing anyway? Like, how did this happen in the first place?
I think somebody actually get this slid through, though, and somebody just signed it. Of, like, a thing like, no, don't worry about this sign right there. Oh, no, you know, they on the phone or something, like, they just sign and shit. And then they seal it in, like, watch this shit. We finna get Wakanda for real.
So it says is that Francis Singh, who's a fellow at the Jane Family Institute last week, was researching trade deals and how they can affect food distribution in countries listed as U.S. trade partners. He said after going through a long list of regular countries and things, you noticed, he said he saw Wakanda and then kept going and then looked back like, what? Hold up. So, and then they made the motion to get the thing off of that. So what I think is that, so was that based on a true story at the end of Black Panther when he said, we Wakanda have been selfish for far too long, and now we need to give back to the rest of the world.
Yeah.
So somebody saw that and put them on the free trade.
Maybe we can get some free shit about it. That's what it was like. We can get some free shit.
So was Wakanda... No, my biggest question was... Now, I'm not going to ask you this. I'm going to ask Conspiracy Brother this.
Okay. All right, let me put that hat on.
So hit up Conspiracy Brother and see if he can be there for me.
Yes, I'm here.
All right, so Conspiracy Brother, what was they really doing with Wakanda being on this free trade list? Like, what was really happening while Wakanda was
they
on
wanted
this list?
Infiltrate Africa and actually make their own land called Wakanda and have a different area and split... The black people that are a little bit aristocratic put them in one area for they can control the whole continent.
So you're saying that Wakanda was like a upper class black people nation?
But it's a thing for the white man can control those black people, and then they can control the rest of Africa.
See, I was trying to figure out how they was gonna link this to Obama.
Oh no! Obama, you know they would say Obama has like he'd be an ambassador to Wakanda.
Okay.
So they could try to do that, but that's a way to control us all, my brother.
Well, explain that to me, Conspiracy Brother. How does that work?
So you make all the aristocratic black people part of Wakanda. Then the white man controls all those black people who control everybody else. It's like 5%. It's like being a 5% nation.
Okay. So who would be associated with that? Like
all your aristocratic people. You're talking about your Obamas, your Smiths, your Carters,
okay.
Your Stewarts, shout out to David Stewart. All those people. Those rich folks.
Okay. Omarosa?
Omarosa would definitely be there. Okay. There is some issues. There would be some tensions in between for who shows up in this room. Now, Omarosa will have to be there because we need somebody to spy on the black folks to make sure that they're doing what we want them to do.
So she's there as
to keep us in check.
She's the General Hux of this whole thing.
100%.
Okay. Got it.
100%.
And throwing Clarence Thomas. Y'all go see Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah. Also Clarence Thomas. Actually, you know what? They can't even let Clarence Thomas in. Omarosa can at least get in the room.
Okay.
I don't think Clarence Thomas can even enter the room.
I think the air would be too smoggy for Clarence Thomas. Yeah.
Too many black women for him.
Too many black women.
And especially if Anita Hill, all we do is have Anita Hill show up, and he's gonna walk right out of the room.
Yeah, that's no. Him and Ben Carson, they're not coming in.
Now. Yeah, Ben, you know, Ben might slide in there because his wife might get him to help him get in.
Okay.
You know, so well, he may be able to slide.
They was doing something with Wakanda.
Yeah,
America was laundering money in the name of Wakanda,
and it's like, no, it's a country. We sending aid to that country, Wakanda.
Yeah, that's gonna be Donald Trump. Donald Trump's gonna say that's how he was giving back to Africa through aid in Wakanda.
Like, look, don't impeach me. I was helping out Wakanda.
Don't rule it out. That could be something that happens in the next 9 or 10
I wouldn't be
months.
Surprised the way this fucking world
Look at what I've done for Wakanda. I would be like, say what?
They got vibranium. We're going to be doing all kinds of different things now.
Vibranium wasn't in Wakanda before me.
I helped it come there.
I brought it there. It was an export.
It was accidental, but I did it.
If you put that on teleprompter, he would say that.
I believe it, because he would just read it.
He would take credit for the whole plot line of Black Panther if you really put it on a...
The whole plot line of it?
The whole thing. The whole thing. He would make sense of it, at least up to the point where Claw dies. He would make it... I sent Claw over. I didn't improve his manners, but...
Everything else was fine.
I did send him. All right, man. So let's move on to another quick hitter, man. Now, these are your people, so I'm going to let you speak to this situation.
Okay.
A Wells Fargo employee in North Carolina has been accused by federal authorities of stealing over $88,000 in cash from a bank vault and then posting the cash on Facebook. 29-year-old Orlando, and that's A-R-L-A-N-D-O.
Orlando. Yes, Orlando. Yes, yes.
Was believed to have taken the cash and deposits of customers 18 times throughout the year and would hide the books where the money is at. So I think maybe he was trying to use that Wakanda account.
Yeah, no, he definitely was.
To mask his money. He said he used it to pay for personal needs, which included a $20,000 down payment on a Mercedes-Benz, which he also posed in front of Willis talking to the money on Facebook. So I'm going to leave this with you. This is your area here.
Let me go to some of his captions from some of his from his situation here. Let me go to a couple of them. There's some great fraud that he was doing here. Or just how cats be having an Instagram post like, you know, when you catch that bus, you get there, like we try to have a deep quote when they holding a whole bunch of money in their hand. Mm-hmm. Also, like some of the Instagram hoes, as the great Velvet Jones said, you know, they ass out, but then they like. You know, just if you shoot for the star, I mean, you shoot for the stars and make it to the moon, you're still a star.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that type of shit. He has some great ones. Orlando, shout out to his mother, who decided to name him Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
I like to
the
always
Orlando
go,
Magics.
Yeah.
The Orlando Magics.
So now, I like to always go to heavy.com. I always like to go there because they give you 5 fast facts.
They do.
And they're always compelling to me. Because it's like a little cliff notes for me if I ain't got to go read all over the internet for all the different articles. First one, Orlando Anderson began stealing $1,000 from cash from customers' accounts shortly after he was hired. So he didn't even wait that long to even start stealing early in the game. So these are the bank transactions he did, though. This is how dumb this nigga is. And I don't like to say nigga all the time, though. But this is a dumb nigga.
Well, our rule in the show is it's
used. It's very useful.
It's used for when a situation
is. Exactly. And this is one of them.
Something like this.
So
every year we keep about 20 times behind the glass. We can break the glass.
Exactly. And this is one of them.
This is the last one of the year we needed to use.
So his first deposit, they have all the deposits he took. I mean, the deposit he took. First one for $446. The next one for $200. Then $441. Then $850. Then this motherfucker right here goes to $5,465 is the next stealing. Then he steals $5,647 the next time. Then he gets scared, $1,300. Then he got the audacity to go to $8,100 right after that. Then he goes to $3,600, then another $8,000, then another $7,000, then the $8,000. Then he goes to $13,450. Mm-hmm. Then he goes to $10,000. And this is all between June the 12th and July the 19th. This motherfucker did that.
Right.
Between that time. And I'm like, first of all, I don't like to be racist to my own people, my own situation.
Yeah.
But I would definitely be looking at him the way he looks. Oh, I'm not. He ain't getting nowhere close to this goddamn money. Mm-hmm. This is when you need another black person on the thing, though, to be like, look, I know y'all trying to do diversity and stuff, though, and we really appreciate that amongst black people.
Yeah.
This ain't the guy that y'all need to be having access to money like this.
I think that anywhere that black people get hired, that we're trying to have a game for the culture, there should be a black review board.
Exactly.
Like, hey, this dude just presented really well. Let us make sure.
Mm-hmm.
Let us make sure.
Is he going to set us back three steps?
Yeah, because we can't have him getting in there and then messing it up for us. We need to put together the black review board. Like the Watchers and Green Lantern.
The Watchers.
Like, we just sit off on somewhere.
We make sure that they do whatever they're supposed to be doing.
And be like, hey, man, congratulations. You got the job. Now, we don't do drug screenings anymore. Instead, you got to go get your black screening. You got to go and see some brothers.
Why did you? And they let him get the keys to the vault and the keys to the ATM within 2 months. I blame this on Wells Fargo.
I'm going to put it this way. That's probably a brother that shot soft shoe tapped. He showed them everything they needed to say. Don't worry about Orlando. He's all
right. You think you? It had to be, right?
He had to be. It had to be.
It had to be, right?
It had to be one
but
of those.
I mean, but I'm looking at these pictures. He got tats all up down his arm. Yeah, it had to be, man. And he went by the rap name Ace40EZ. AC40Z. I don't know what that means. I'm a little bit older. Maybe some of our younger listeners can maybe cue me into what Ace40EZ means.
Mm-hmm.
Keep in mind, this fool filed for bankruptcy in 2013. And he's, how the fuck you filed for bankruptcy that young?
Right.
He's only 28. And I was, how?
Explain yourself.
No, I'm dead serious, though. Like, that's a real question. Like,
explain yourself.
He was 28 years old in the year of our Lord of 2019, and you filed for bankruptcy in 2013. So you filed bankruptcy at 22? How did y'all not pull up the credit check and stuff on this?
There's nothing that I won't get myself out of to avoid having to do a bankruptcy pre-50 years old. Come on now.
Yeah.
Come on now. All make mistakes.
Yeah.
We all make mistakes.
But you're 22?
But here's the signs that you truly don't even, you're not either aware or don't care about credit.
Mm-hmm.
When you got a scheme like this going and you out here beating the game and you decide to go and buy a Benz and put it on Facebook.
And you just like with a regular teller.
I just got to say, man, I feel like that when that happens, you truly aren't cued in on wanting to watch your credit score. You got Credit Karma downloaded to your phone.
And he had to pay for it in cash. Shit, he just had a bankruptcy motherfucking thing. Like, what is it, 7 years before it goes off here? Oh, he was around. I wonder if it went off, it was going off his credit report.
Mm, 22 to 29? Maybe.
See, he's son of a bitch. See, this is when you need somebody, a couple of black, this is why you need black people on your staff.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they're like, they probably thought they were like, oh man, we got this guy named Orlando, a new position. He's super, super bright.
See,
he works late.
See, if you bring that to
he
me.
He works late.
He definitely puts the time in.
He works late. They probably was like, he stays overtime if we need him to. Every time that somebody, he volunteers, every time somebody stay late, he volunteers.
Yeah, I'll do it. Don't worry about it. I'll stick around. I'll stay. Don't worry about it. I'm dedicated. Mean, So here's the thing. I think that in that moment, if you bring that to my desk and be like, we're about to hire somebody, what's his name? His name's
Orlando.
Orlando? I'd be like, huh, what's his name? Hold up, what now?
Let me see what he look like.
Let me send him in here. Send him in here. Set up a screen.
And look, and automatically he would know, like automatically seeing you like, fuck, all right, the jig is up.
Look at him like, hey bro. Hey man.
Fuck you doing.
Where you from? What part of town are you from?
Over that way. In fifth ward.
What high school you go to?
Man, I went to Beaumont.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, now, you know, I went to Sanford Brown, though, and got me my my bookkeeping
degree. Okay, I see.
Yeah. Trying to get my full 4-year degree, you know. I'm trying to go over to University of Phoenix. So, you know what I'm saying, get my 4-year.
You got a lot going on, man. Like, how you managing all that time to get all that
done? You know, man, the God is great, man.
Oh, okay.
God is great.
And see, in that moment, that's what you say.
No, that's what you know. Because you know that's what a nigga do, though.
In that moment, there's a couple of things that's going to happen. I'm going to look at him with that cut eye, that eye, like when you see a cat and you be like, I don't know what he on right now. Let me watch out for him. Or when you look at him, you be like, I know what you up to.
Like, I got your whole, the whole jig is up.
When you look at him, you be like, oh, yeah? And he be like, hey, man. Hey, brother.
Cut me some slack, man.
Hey, brother. I was like, nah, man. I feel like you might be a risk to the rest of us.
look, you may be a cause and effect.
Like, not doing this in a Cosby type of way where you like, oh, I'm just not giving out opportunity to cats. I'm trying to block opportunity to be the only one. Like, no. That's not what this is about. This is about, hold on, dog. I might not get promoted because you finna come up here.
And do some bullshit.
Yeah. Can't have that, man. We got to look out for all of us by protecting ourselves against us.
Against ourselves, and I understand, you know, it is what it is, y'all. But a shout out to Orlando, man, brother, and like, I mean, you know what? He was mad. I mean, I'm glad he got caught. Fuck it, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I said it,
man. Like, this is just dumb shit, man. And I blame Wells Fargo.
Any more left behind the glass? Because you can break one more. We might have one more that you can use.
No, I mean, maybe I need to see what's the rest of these topics.
Okay, let's move on. I want to circle back around to this one. Yeah. Okay, because this one might require. up next, Deion Waiters, Miami Heat guard. Deion Waiters has had an interesting year. I think we talked about
this. Interesting in career, not just a year.
Just
career.
In general. He's really doubled down on it in the first 3 months of this year's season, though.
Easy.
For the second time this year, Waiters got suspended. First time he got suspended for overdosing on edibles on a team plane and having a seizure. On the other side of it. And now he's been suspended again. I'm sorry. It's his third suspension of the year. He got suspended again. What was it this time? He was out bowling?
Yeah, he was out bowling. No, that was...
The other guy.
Le'Veon Bell. He was out at the club.
Mm-hmm.
Deion Waiters went to the club.
He was sick.
He said he was sick, but he went to the club.
Right.
He had bottle service for his birthday. No, right. Was it Le'Veon Bell for his birthday?
Le'Veon Bell was a scratch because he wasn't healthy enough to play, but he was healthy enough to bowl.
Yeah. Hold on, let me see what Deion Waiters got popped.
So now they're saying that Waiters' situation with these three suspensions in 1 year is enough to get him potentially not get another job in the NBA because people are just tired of dealing with
it. Yeah, he be on some shit.
How do you BS your way out of the league, though? Think about that. Think about what it takes to do that.
And think about you sitting in purgatory in Utah. To go to Miami and fuck around and fuck up.
Right.
Or you could look at it like, yeah, I spent some years in purgatory in Utah. That's why I'm wilding out.
Right. All of that. Oklahoma City. Shot his way out of that.
Yep.
Whole thing. So he gets suspended for three
times. Oh, no, he never went to Utah. I thought he went to Utah.
He got suspended three times in 3 months.
Yeah.
Edibles. Not showing up for work.
Oh, I forgot about the edible shit.
Yeah.
Damn, I forgot about the edible shit.
That was the first thing.
Damn, I forgot all about the edibles, man. Why is he posting it? It was for his birthday. He's partying for his birthday.
Basically, the most recent thing is he called out sick, said he wasn't playing well, and then posted a picture
of him partying on his boat.
Partying on a boat.
Right.
Now, when did you last time that partying on a boat went well for anybody in pro sports? Never.
Shout out to the Vikings.
Shout out to Odell Beckham.
Shout out to Kyrie Irving.
And in a really grim version, them cats from the Indians back in the day.
Or even more, them cats on the fishing boat that played for the Buccaneers.
Yes.
All over South Florida.
Roy Halladay, Chris Carpenter.
Ooh, Bison Dale.
All of this. It doesn't work.
It doesn't work well, man.
It doesn't work.
It doesn't work well.
Do it. But so he got suspended for going out on his birthday on a boat and posted pictures of it after he said he was too sick to play. Like, how do you look at the NBA as being in the NBA as being an inconvenience to your kicking? This is chicken and the egg shit right here. One of those things makes the other happen.
Yeah.
And the NBA ain't cutting no shabby checks if you're sticking around. Like, you sit around the NBA for 7-8 years, you getting paid.
You getting paid. You getting paid real good.
You good.
Like, you live, like, you live in that thing.
I understand that, man. Maybe the motivation, maybe I need to ask somebody who's had that motivation before at some point in their life, but I don't have the motivation to fuck up being in the league because I want to go on a boat and have a day party. I don't even want to go to day parties in my own city downtown.
Let alone doing something like that. Like, yeah, I don't get, this is a whole time of, I don't get it, man. And right around Christmas, too, you finna fuck up all your money. Orlando's out here, you know, doing his thing, messing it all up for himself. And, like, he had a good lick. He probably would have got caught over time in general if he'd kept licking it. But he made himself even worse. Don't put himself on the radar. I like Orlando, man. God damn, man.
Orlando? You going back to Orlando?
I went back to Orlando. Oh,
I'm sorry.
Just
Orlando and Deion Waiters need a show together.
Well, Orlando may be locked up. He may not be a part Orlando of the show. Might be doing They'd that be a, through the wall. He may be doing that through the wall.
Yeah. Playing the role of Orlando.
Yeah, because bank don't fuck around. That's Fed time, baby. You fuck with the FDIC. Yes, I mean, Orlando must not have known and understood what was the severity of the situation.
That's fair. That's a good call. So speaking of the severity of your situation, let's move on to something else. I feel like you might have a semi-emotional response to this, so I want to make sure that you're in a good place with it as I walk into it. Another guy that might have been known for his hijinks occasionally.
Oh, so I'm going to use my last N-word for the year on this one. Cool. Straight up.
Final, coming up soon, the final N-word of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So former NBA player, J.R. Smith, I don't think he's got a job.
No, I don't think he's going to get a job
either. Former NBA player, J.R. Smith. Became the most recent brother to get blasted on Instagram for his transgressions, for sloppily managing his transgressions. Because he was outed for being with the Flash star, Candace Patton, from the WB, CW, whatever
the CW, hell it is. Flash.
The Flash, the TV show. Said they've been seeing each other, according to Smith's wife, who said, and I'm going to quote this, "God is mad wild. There's a lot going on. Help me, God." Says, "As I was talking to Demi, as I was taking Demi to school," I'm sure that's JR's daughter, "God was like, yeah, you're going to pray and you're going to post it." And then after she did that, she let it be known what JR was up to. So, come on, guys. Let's stop getting news about our lives broken to other people on social media. Let's let that be everybody's New Year's resolution.
Not gonna happen. It's gonna get worse.
It's gonna get worse. Why is it gonna get worse?
It's gonna get worse. People gonna be like, "Man, I'm getting divorced, yo." And it's what the husband or wife not even gonna know, and it's gonna be announced on an Instagram story. Watch.
It's been a lot of cats I've been seeing just doing some really bad politicking through social media this year.
Explain.
A lot of people I've seen just mismanaging the access to social media. Like,
so I'm putting up too much.
Putting up too much, putting up the wrong things, showcasing things, like, hey, that's going to catch up with you. apologizing through social media, different things like that. Like, running bad campaigns. Like,
running a bad social media campaign.
Running what I like to call the Jeff Fisher playbook.
Okay, the 50-50.
Yeah, where it's like, oh, we're 3rd and 9. We're going to run it up the middle.
We're not going to pass it.
Maybe that's the wrong play to call.
Yeah, I mean, at least give me a play action if you want to even give the illusion of
running play actions to the short side of the field, bullshit like that, like, you know, just really stupid shit like that. Breakaway mid-range jumpers, like, you're not even shooting a three, you're not going to the rim, you stopping and shooting a mid-range jumper, like, that's a less optimal way to go about getting this done. But so I know that Candace Patton was one of your favorites.
Yeah, man.
And this opens up an entire situation that we need to address, because I think that this is one of those revelation points. So
yeah, the first thing I said to you, I was like, I didn't even know she was even in that area of dating.
Like, she looked like one of them sisters that date white boys,
right? And or button up black dude
or Braxton. Off
yeah,
of,
and
off
that, that's of, fine. I thought that was the pool she play in. That's fine. You play in that pool. I didn't know she was over at the Wohl Center pool.
The wall. You gotta explain that. That's
bad. That is the hood Blackpool on King's Highway and Martha King. So obviously you know where this is, though.
I absolutely do.
No, yeah, I mean, but and our listeners that don't live here, if I say King's Highway, you're like, okay, I don't know where King's Highway is, but I say Martha King behind it. You already, you immediately know this area of where this pool is. Mm-hmm. That's the pool she was in. We didn't know. She was showing up there on the low-low. Maybe after us other cats that would be just kind of hanging out there every now and then, she showed up there on the late night.
Yes. Yes.
You know, to check out J.R. Smith. And on the low-low, J.R. Smith has accumulated a nice amount of roster of women on the low.
So...
For good or bad.
If because of that, are we saying that, hey, sister, it's time to cut bait? Like, to me, J.R. Smith seems like...
He doesn't need to go and be single, man.
To me, J.R. Smith feels like the outcome from a woman. Mm-hmm. It's the outcome of when you... That's why you don't be dating these bad dudes.
100%. He's 100% all of that.
He seems like he's the epitome of the payout for when you date. He's like, I know he ain't perfect, but...
That's exactly what the statement is. Before JR, before you meet him, you be like, oh, it's JR Smith.
JR Smith feels like the payoff when you try to change a brother.
That's 100%. Dude, that's 100% it.
Like, you're not going to change that man. He is who he's going to be. By what age is a man who he going to be?
Ooh. By what age is a man going to be who he going to be? 35.
So there's a lot of dumbness that's playing in this then, too, because on Candace Patton's side, she out here diving into it. And she just, unless
she... And she, her image is pretty squeaky clean.
Yeah, but before see, this. But so that goes to my point about why I bring this up, mm-hmm. is that this happens for dudes, this happens for girls, mm-hmm. it doesn't matter whose side, because everybody done this, mm-hmm. is that you start to see who somebody really is through who they date.
100%. 100%.
You'd be like, damn, I did not see that.
I did not see that she would kick. I did not know he messed with those type of girls.
Yeah, right.
Like, okay. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. I like it or you love it.
Yeah, it doesn't really change anything about me, but I learned something.
About you, though.
About you. That's important for me because now I know who I'm really dealing with.
Right.
And there's like some people that was in like bad relationships for a long time. I'm like, I can't have sympathy for him because I know who he is.
I'm not in a relationship with him.
Right, exactly. But it's like
you gotta know who he is.
If I know him better than you,
that's a problem.
Wrong.
Right.
But I don't. You know better, but you refuse to do better.
Better. I agree. It's something about it also where I think that some people and Candace Patton is a girl, she's from Mississippi. I think she's biracial. She went to SMU. If anybody knows anything about SMU, that's like going to a Notre Dame, but in Texas. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Or, you know, like, it's a whole bunch of rich kids, rich white kids, to make it even more clear. Mm-hmm. And, but then a certain part, I can hear other people be like, that's exactly why she messing with a bad boy. I could see that other side of it as well. But I would think that she would curate her career much better than this to be doing this.
Could be good for a career. This gets you on TMZ. You ain't gonna get on TMZ being on the CW.
Yeah, I mean, are you saying it's just as good to be infamous as it is to be like squeaky clean?
It's if your name ringing out for some reason.
So you're saying all publicity is good publicity? Good publicity is that point?
Some people believe that. I don't.
No, I don't believe that.
Some
shit
people
at all.
Believe that.
Look, I don't want any of that shit. Like. No publicity. We need good publicity.
Some of the most enduring times of peace in my life have been when people are talking about me the least. I enjoy it.
And like, I'm trying to think. So like, where does J.R. Smith had to meet her through the DMs, right? Because somebody would have took a picture and be like, Candace Patton is at Spruill's. You know what I'm saying? Like, or maybe them cats don't even know who Candace Patton is. Maybe that's why she was under the radar hanging out with J.R. Smith.
Yo, is that old girl from no. Show?
No.
It is, God. Let me see. Yo, it is.
Or she blew under the radar. I'm saying because people didn't know who she was, though, because they didn't watch the show.
I don't know, man.
Maybe she liked that.
She got a lot of social media followers. That's more currency
that's true.
Than being on the show.
Yeah, she do.
That's more currency. I don't think there's any way to walk this out. This is just what she on right now in life. And maybe this is what she is on right now. And she's just like, damn, can I get my thrills?
Yeah, she ain't posted in a week, too.
Nah, she's been off the scene.
And she's a posting person, too, though.
Yeah.
They got her up off the motherfucking gram and off Snapchat.
She gonna come back with them comments turned off.
Ooh. Yes, she is. You're 100% correct.
I didn't even know that.
Actually, she has them off right now.
Yeah.
She has them off right now as we speak.
Oh, yeah.
She has them off. I'm on her Instagram right now. You are exactly... You picked it out already.
I know when people is. I know when people. What people in this day and age do when they want to run from the truth. Don't worry, baby. It's waiting here. You're gonna come back eventually.
Oh, you at that point just keep comments off forever.
Yeah.
Because as soon as you put the comments back,
I think turning the comments off is the worst thing you can do though.
Because it revs up the people. You said.
Now people will be like, oh, okay.
It's like that.
She probably had to delete that Twitter. You can't turn the comments off on Twitter.
Ooh. Oh, or she just not checking it. Maybe she deleted it off her phone.
It's still happening, though.
And as soon as you tweet out anything about check out the Flash this Wednesday, but what about checking out J.R. Smith balls? Mm-hmm. She was doing that.
Have you ever taken time? I know you have. Yeah, I know you take a chance to look at someone when the comments is just getting disrespectful and just go down that pipeline.
Yeah, just be like, God damn. That's why I was like, man. You just got to stay out of that shit, though, yo.
Yeah, just don't. In this day and age, there's more access to do more, but if it blow up in your face, it's going to blow up 1,000-fold than it would have back in the day. Can you imagine what OJ would have happened when there was social media?
OJ might have basked in that shit. He might be like, so what? I cut the bitch. You'd be like, oh, shit, OJ, you can't do that.
I'm thinking
about how people share too much
now. Let's not hold that out for OJ.
No, but I'm saying, but you know how people share too much now and they're younger? He might be a little bit more G than that to be just blatantly out there saying that. But think of OJ... was OJ's age when he did that, but now. Mm-hmm. He might even respond and get mad, like, so what, I cut that bitch. And then somebody had the screenshot of, like, he said he cut her.
Right, right.
He said he cut her.
Right.
So hold on. So now I'll go to Candace Patton's Twitter. First comment, and the married man too.
Ooh.
So her thing is, sorry, I just love my pup. And somebody comments, and the married man too. First comment I see on her Twitter that's connected to her. First one. Then the next one is a gif of J.R. Smith when he didn't pass the ball correctly in that game against Golden State. That's the next one. The next comment.
That's what he's doing with his own life right now.
Then somebody said, "Run, girl, they coming." Oh. Oh my god. Oh. Yeah. The comments. She can't get away from the comments on Twitter though. Like you said. Maybe she's on Instagram more. She can't post on Snapchat either because people send you direct message on Snapchat real fast.
Yeah, she gonna have to tuck away and hide on this thing. Gonna have to. Little choice in the matter. All right, man. So.
No, you can comment. Oh no, you know our comments are turned off.
Let's go real quick, man, to America's favorite segment, man. It's time for this week in racism. So, your boy is back at it again. Your guy.
No. I just want everybody, the streets, just to give me my props for being correct about this motherfucker. I think the streets to just.
Here's the thing. You was right, but I don't even think that you weren't anticipating.
Oh, I didn't know it was going to get this bad.
This is just about football.
Yeah, it was strictly about football. Yeah, so he's went on a whole other depth.
So when it comes to this, as two people who are aspiring political campaign people, we're still waiting to throw our name into the Democratic race. But yes. It's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Because the MAFA campaign is really going to kick up in 2020.
It's sitting there ready. It's ready for everybody.
We're gonna have coffee mugs. We're gonna have bumper stickers. We're gonna have hats. We're gonna have all of it, and it's gonna be available. We want to have it available for the holiday season, but we will have it ready for Black History Month for sure. So, but the man we're talking about today is Antonio Brown, who also started his own hash brown, and started his own hashtag, No More White Woman 2020, not women, No More White Woman 2020. So I don't know if that means he's done with one of them in 2020 or all of them. Generally, that means all of them usually. But that's in his second to most recent foray into the public. We'll get into what he's done
over other time. Because he's done it also over other times.
Well, you know, he dropped a song.
Hold on.
He dropped a song.
I was like, you made me drop this in the show.
Last week or so. Well, we'll get to that in a second. But we had to talk about this hashtag for a second. I want to understand this, but well, to a certain extent, I do understand it. Absolutely. But at the same time, I kind of don't.
Why is that?
So, like, you know, what's gonna be the come out from it? You know, what's gonna end up being the what is he trying to do? No more white. Usually, that's something you say, brother. Get some applause.
But I don't. But we don't want black women to have to deal with him. That's the way I look at it.
No, they're not gonna. No.
I mean, he still got that rape situation on his back. You know. And then so hold on, I'm gonna go to his text messages too, because he's a dumb motherfucker. Period, man. Like he's just stupid. Like he's just not intelligent.
Can I tell you some of the comments that came across when he said on Instagram?
So he left his comments.
Oh, off. He'll never turn his comments off. What?
He bastard.
Antonio Brown never. Comments was made for cats like him. Somebody said that's been the campaign since day one with some emoji faces afterwards. And somebody said, gave him some of that brother logic where every word capitalized after this. Mm-hmm. AB, bro, chill. They going to try to slay you. I love you, big bro. Go take a year off and come back next training camp. Camp with a K. Your kids need their father, and it's been a dark road you're going down. Hashtag family first.
Oh, shit.
And then somebody said, of course, because it's got to get appropriated mm-hmm. as well. Imagine this is a white guy and he said, no more black women 2020. Imagine the outrage. Now, that's a whole different thing. But I'm more than happy to oblige
him. Yeah, no, I'm definitely happy to oblige that.
Let's analyze Antonio Brown here first.
He's a fuck up, man. Like, this is him with his little rape case thing. This is him texting or emailing the girl that he had the issues with for the thing. No, he goes, I jacked my dick on your back. Now, this is all like in an exclamation point. Slept with you in bed. These are you in, not this is nothing. This is the phonetic version. Fuck your knowledge, bitch. I've been all pro before I even knew you. You hit me up online, bitch, crying. I didn't hit you up. You never left my house since you had hotel. You feel asleep. Feel, F-E-E-L, not fell asleep. Feel asleep on my couch. Fuck out of here. My baby mama tricked your dumb ass. Blast me on your failure, telling everybody you own a gym. What you gonna blast? Don't fucking write my phone line. And he spells line, L-I-E-N, bitch. Thought it was easy to get a come up? Using God alias fake asshole. You and your mama thought y'all hoes had to come up.
Y'all niggas need to cook up cocaine with baking powder.
That's exactly what it is. You don't write my team. Thanks for, then this is next email. This is the best one. Thanks for giving us control of your life for 3 weeks. Next time you and your mama plotting on a come up, make sure all hoes pick the right man, dumb ass hoes. Maybe somebody you already fucked your mama controlling your life like she gonna help the come up. This is all, people, this is all the way it sounds the way I'm reading it. I mean, it's read the way I'm reading it. You fail at gymnast, you are nobody. Me, a nigga, me and my niggas laugh about this shit. Me busting on your back. I'll let him know when I'm bored. You a disgrace to little girls. You a failed gymnast living in the past at your mama house with your mama. Lucky I showed you around. You're welcome. My baby mama know a weak bitch when she spot one. You played yourself. Emoji laugh.
This following segment, this previous
that was segment, to a black woman too. That was a text to a black woman.
This was brought to you in part from William Shakespeare.
No, Hooked on Phonics.
It was a brilliant...
Hey, look, I wouldn't be surprised if Candace Patton messing with him next week. The way she...
She really hurt you, man.
She hurt me, man. Look, I don't think she could come back.
You banishing her?
This is just as bad as when Lauren London was messing with Lil Wayne. Had a baby by Lil Wayne. This is on those levels.
Is it Stacey Dash level banishment?
Stacey Dash, she really hasn't had a bad person to me to banish her. She's done dumb things. it's hard for me to banish Stacey Dash.
Okay.
Any woman that I looked in the pantheon that was older than me, mm-hmm. it's kind of hard to dismiss them. It's easy to dismiss somebody younger than me mm-hmm. or my age. Mm-hmm. But Stacey Dash has been dismissed. But this is just like I said, when Lil Wayne and Lauren London. Lauren London's still bad, but it just felt different after that. After she had a baby with Lil Wayne, it just felt different.
Different. That put a.
Yeah, I mean that's what dropped her in the seat in the bracket.
Yeah,
that was like when Cincinnati lost Kenyon Martin for the NCAA tournament. They had to fall to a 2-seed.
Well, she won a conference tournament to get in.
Yeah, she had to. Yeah. They was like Seton Hall back in the day.
She won
the
MEAC championship. Or something. Yeah.
At the MEAC.
All right, man, so
all our HBCU cats is mad at how we can equate it.
Mad at me most of the time,
right?
Still got that show coming, boy. Right. So if you think my name ain't bad now,
yeah.
Shout out to my HBCU homies.
Yeah, shout out to him.
We see stuff.
Oh, she had the audacity. Oh, Candace Patton had the audacity to put up an Instagram post
about it.
No. Happy holidays, but it's on her Insta story though. That might not be the best thing though.
Can I comment on that?
Ooh. No, she's disabled her comments on that.
That's so cowardly, man.
She's disabled all the comments.
Hey, listen to me, man. When y'all mess with married men, people coming for you. So if you're going to do anything, same thing messing with married women. If you're going to do it and you're going to be put out there, hey, own it.
But for me,
I feel like women own the cheating less than men do. I feel like men get caught.
Go into this for a second.
But I feel like women own it less. Because most of the time, they don't main ones that are rallying against brothers that's unfaithful and cheating. Mm-hmm. But then when they do it, you see, like, the virtual sunglasses come out and put their hand on their face. And,
like they coming out of court.
Yeah, and dodging all of the thing. Like, you see people that's like, you know, like, oh, I don't know what I...
Or you know it's going to be the next thing.
You can't deny love when love shows its head. And you be like... You
know, or the thing. He told me that they was estranged.
Yes. They told me that they was... they were separated. They've been separated for a long time. That's what he told me. That's what he told you.
All right, Candace.
You don't think that he might have been trying to get a little bridge work to get out of the situation?
Oh, you saying that he was already out
there? No, I'm saying in general. I'm speaking in general. So I'm not speaking about them in particular. Oh, I'm just talking about in general.
Oh, yeah.
When I see, I've never seen, it's been very rare where I've seen a woman just own like, hey, I wanted what I wanted. And I went
and got it. And I had fun. We had fun. We kicked it. None at all. Except, the Candace Patton thing hurt her brother, man. I just didn't know that she would... And any woman hanging with J.R. Smith doesn't bode well for me in general in my mind. Huh. Like, it just means, like, he just has a lot of sucker tendencies.
Well, it's just some brothers I just don't want to go behind.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
there you go.
There's that.
There you go.
All right, man. Well, do we want to play a clip of this Antonio Brown?
We're going to play it.
Come back around to that.
No, we're going to play this.
All right, man, before we wrap up this week of racism, man, let's get you a clip of this Antonio Brown. We'll discuss it next week.
All right. All right, that was Antonio Brown.
Yeah, that was Antonio Brown's new single, Whole Lot of Money. There's a video as well.
He's going to be broken 5 years.
We'll get the teaser video.
He's going to be broken 5 years. I'm a bold statement, 5 years. He got like 7-8 kids or some shit, right? Like some crazy amount of kids, right?
The standard issue NFL package.
I thought standard was like 4.
Is that standard?
He's above the standard.
Okay.
Standard is 4. He's got 7 or 8 by like 5 of different women.
He'll be on...
I call it the Ocho Cinco.
He'll be on Love & Hip Hop.
Ooh, bold statement, but I can see that happening.
Yeah. You'll be on Love & Hip
Hop. Ooh, I really like that. I really like that statement that he'd be on Love & Hip Hop. I like that.
That's
man.
The bailout. That's the bailout.
I like that he'd be on Love & Hip Hop. I love that, man. That's a great take.
We'll see where it goes.
So you're saying he won't be broke. He'll just be a thousandaire then.
Yeah. He'll
get them $2,000 per episode.
He'll be in the same tax bracket as us.
Okay, yeah. Shout out to Antonio Brown. You'll be with us soon.
All right, man. Let's get to scenario of the week, man. For the holidays, you right here. Hope you're getting to check this out on first drop. You with your family, enjoying it and whatnot. If you are, you know, I hope you're having a happy holiday. I hope it's a thing where you enjoy yourself.
Enjoy yourself with your family, your friends.
Absolutely, man. These are the days the memories is made out of, man.
And don't cuss at your daddy telling him he a sucker nigga. You know?
Don't take the...
That was my last one.
Don't take the Daryl... Don't take the Daryl Frierson route towards to holiday celebration.
Yeah.
Be more like me. I'm going to just sit around and watch basketball while the various women in my life are sitting around
and just hang out
doing things. Yeah. I bought my mom's a new chair for Christmas. Dropped it off a couple of days ago.
Oh, so did she know? Did you hide it there? Or did she know she got
She
it?
Didn't know I was bringing it into the house. I let her go to church. Hooked it up.
Oh, so you just put it in and got it all set up.
Yeah, took the old one out, all of that. But, you know. So happy she's got that nice little upgrade for her. But also for me, it's going to be fantastic to watch the first two or three NBA games on, too.
Oh, yeah. Get the
chill. She'll be up doing her thing.
And you can just post up and just watch the games.
Yeah, I can just post up. Not so how does say that work out? I bought this for myself, because I'm not over there anywhere near enough.
So so how does it go? Did you go see your dad later on? Or?
I usually see my family does. My dad's family does Christmas on Christmas Eve.
Okay.
So I'll do that.
So you can split it up. So that's an easy one.
Yeah, it's an easy
one. It's easier than Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving is just a chore.
Okay.
Or it has been, because I'm bringing all that to an end next year.
Because you're going to be having a joke grip.
Everybody's coming to me permanently from now on.
Oh, word. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not leaving the house. Indefinitely. But
indefinitely. But, you're going to be like Howard Hawks. Howard Hughes.
I'm going to be like Eddie Murphy giving that toast. Talking crazy to people. But no, I'd say all that to say, I want for y'all to have peace. I want y'all to be happy. Mm-hmm. I want y'all to have a happy environment, because, the streets can try to get you during a holiday, an extended holiday. Could be one thing that this holiday being when it is could be saving you from, is the streets getting you. So don't get caught in a bad place in the holidays.
Okay.
Now by this, I mean, there's brothers that have people come back in town. People that had designs. See, there's people that go out of town and come back to town. Time hasn't really moved for them.
They pick up exactly where
they were at when they left off last time. You know, it's like they come back out to figure out where everything at, figuring out what people do, asking about spots that's been closed for a year. You'd be like, nah, man, that's
just closed. We don't go there no more. We go to such and such.
Or like three people got shot there. We don't go there anymore during the day party.
We ain't got that.
You know, so like people try to figure out where to be, what to do, all that. But they also bring back their own ambitions and bring their own things back. And people trying to pick up that old thing where either A, that old thing never existed, or B, that old thing is unfinished business. That's over with for you now. It's done. That business is
moved on. For one person, it's over with for one person. But the other person is like, no, I want to see what's up.
Like people to come back into town and buy Christmas gifts for people they ain't talked to in multiple years. Like, yeah, I just want to stop by. You know, I had a little something.
Oh, no, that's the intro line, man. I got to bring you a Christmas gift by.
Yeah. You got to get some time so I can get your Christmas present.
Oh, okay. Well, damn, Leroy, I ain't talked to you in like 3 years.
I got kids now.
You've been in Korea for 3 years. Like,
you've been in Kansas City for 3 years.
Yeah,
like you're not even that far away. Wait, but now you're back. I still ain't seen you. You decided to take this. So let's make it a sucker free Christmas for both women and men. So let's lay a couple ground rules down.
Okay. All
right. Hey, if you ain't touched base, don't pop up.
Yes.
Like, if you haven't touched base, don't pop up.
I agree.
You know what I'm saying? Because you don't know what they're going on in somebody's life since you last seen them or whatever. So don't hit pause on somebody else's life and then just step back in when it then kept moving without them. Without you, I should say. Also, thing I'd say is, yo, don't do the sucker-ass gift buying.
And what does that mean? Oh, I know what you mean, but...
Yeah, like, don't go buy that sucker-ass gift. I just got you a little something. And it's like a $200 gift card, a $300 gift card or something. Or invite somebody out for drinks or something. It's like, you know, like, nah. Yeah. Don't come back and do that. Don't do that slow, sneaky macking.
That slow, sneaky macking.
If you're going to do, here's the thing. If you're going to do some Christmas, you're going to do some Christmas macking, some Christmas out of the blue macking, here's what you got to do. You got to at least set that table on Thanksgiving.
Oh, saying they set it up early. Yeah.
I'm back next month, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, you got to be like, hey, you know what? I didn't get to see you over Thanksgiving, even if you wasn't in town.
Or even if you did see him. But no, I didn't really. We didn't really get to hang out, though, you know, which is kind of like real quick.
What you got going on next?
Everything we just said is some sucker-ass shit. If you hear them lines, ladies, run. That is a sucker baseline move.
That's true. It's so true.
That is trying to set you up for the okey-doke. There's no good intentions in either one of them lines in that scenario.
It's true. It's all true.
So the other thing about it is too is, man, hey, that's also, well, last year we did the various holiday, mm-hmm. the Halloween pimps. Mm-hmm. See, that's that sneaking down the chimney macking. You trying to creep in the middle of the night and just make your presence be felt, and then you done left something behind, and then people thinking about you after you gone. Let me break this down for you.
Break it down.
Ain't nobody thinking about you after they didn't spent your little $200. That's just $200 you could have kept for yourself.
Easily.
But you know what? I think the cats that do that is still the cats that be at the bar being like, yeah, what you and your friends want?
They're just trying to vulturistic.
Yeah.
Like, just trying to get anything that's looming.
Yeah, they're just trying to get trying to get the door open.
And you know what? You used to see them cats from far away, though. You'd be like, oh, okay. I see what's going on here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all right. And women do it too, though, now.
Oh, no. I'm going to move to that in a moment.
Okay.
Well, no, you take that. You take that side.
No, the women do that too. Like, oh, you know what? I'm in town. I hadn't seen you or nothing. You know, what y'all doing? First it was like, what are you and all your boys getting up?
There you go.
Is the crew getting up?
There you go. So that's what's the move?
What's the crew doing? Oh, man. Well, we going, okay. I'm going to swing through, though. I'll be like, okay, cool. You know, you swing through. And he was like, oh, you bring your homegirls? Oh, I mean, you know. Yeah, I'm going to try. When they say I'm going to try, they come by themselves. And then they show up. I'm like, oh, you know what? I got a flat.
A flat? Damn, it's turning into a disaster movie. Too cold outside.
Yeah, like, I got a flat. Can you help me out? You know what? Can you just follow me home back to my mom's house?
Like, you know, before you know it, she done brought you to Christmas dinner. You done got sucked in.
Come in real quick and say something to Moms real quick. You know she miss you.
That's a candy cane pimp. She just threw that hook around your neck and pulled you into the house.
Do you know my mom loves you? Just come on in real quick and say what's up.
And now you a holiday boyfriend.
Yep. And then look, then, you know, and then maybe her pops or uncle kind of messaged you a little bit. Hey, man, go and get you a Corona real quick. Mm-hmm. You know the game on. You know Golden State playing Cleveland.
She's going to get you over there right when the Lakers and the Clippers start, too. You're going to be like, shit. Damn. I don't see this.
Well, you know, I need to get ready. Go to, okay. Well, where are you going after you go to your mom's to call me?
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe I'll just walk you out to the car and then try to go to your mama's house with you.
Exactly. Well, you know what? I haven't seen your mom in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I want to come see. You know what? Your mom be tripping.
See, this is derived from the long mistaken thing that women won't sell out to get a dude. They won't pick up that tab and won't pay for them items to bring them into the room. And then walk right back into your holy form life and try to insert themselves into it. It's like some old Robin Givens ass type chicks.
Man, you said it right there, Robin Givens ass shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh no, I'm gonna find my way.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Either you're gonna make a way for me or I'm gonna make my own way.
I see many a brother get caught in this trap though.
Oh yeah.
This is not, I mean.
That's a bear trap.
Yeah.
That shit snapped close to your knee.
And they end up waking up on December 26th in the bed with them, like, mm-hmm. Damn. It's a hell of a Christmas. And they see that bottle of Crown sitting there next to their bed. Like, here we go.
Brothers come to town and get mixed up in all sorts of stuff. That's why I say, man, hey, don't go anywhere.
Stay low.
Don't go anywhere by yourself, man. If you come back to town and you've been out of town, it's time for you to reactivate your crew. That's when you need your utility man at all times.
Because he can give you a breakdown, too. Like, what's the lay of the land? Can I call Portia back? I'm like, nah, man. You
I wouldn't do it, bro.
Nah, man, you know. Nah, it wouldn't be. Don't call your henchman first. Your henchman will be like, well, shit, you know her dude over in Korea for like the next 6 months. You know he in the military. You gotta call the right cat though in your crew.
What happens after that is that.
Because I know, because you want to holler at her partner though, still too though.
Yeah, then you go fucking around with him without bringing in your consigliere first. And then you looking at him and he's like, how the hell y'all get into that? And you be like, man, I hit a Bruce. He's like,
why'd you call him first?
What you call him for?
They try to blame it back on you. You ain't pick up. You can easily just text me. I'm with family. Just text me if it's something known.
You can come over.
Yeah. You know what?
I wish you would have come over because my girl's on my goddamn nerves. I wish y'all would have came through so I could have stepped out for a second. I was over at her people's house.
And I would have saved all y'all from all this heartbreaking pain that happened.
You know we had some Crown over there. Some good shit. It's the holidays.
Cause you know that history was like, you know her boyfriend left. Matter of fact, tell her to call Lisa.
Knowing that nigga came back in town for the holiday. Now he back in there. Now you looking crazy. Now we gotta go.
It's like that scene from Four Brothers where you gotta escape with your girl or the Tyrese escape with his girlfriend back. Mm-hmm. That's the holidays. Like, oh no, I'm getting her back for these holidays.
You done turned your holidays into a caper movie.
It's to a capable. I gotta get an escape.
But man, be careful of these bold women who don't care about your situation. Brother, it's too hard to get your house built up to let it get blown on by a big bad wolf pussy and get knocked down. And then you don't got it put together the way that it's supposed to be no more.
Yeah, man. Shout out to everybody. Stay low. Love the love you love, man. You know what I'm saying?
All of that, man.
No, man. Shout out to everybody, man. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Yeah, man.
And we will be back with the year-end review next week.
One more.
Sucker of the year, player of the year. We don't have all different. We have categories that we're going to run through next week. And we're going to have the most famous five black people that we can composite.
It's the OJs. It's award season. It's the OJs.
That's it. That's the name of the OJs. Next week, we're going to have the OJs.
And not the singing group. It's the OJs.
Not with the A-Y-S in it. Just O and J.
We're going to have it all. We're going to have our relatives.
No, it's our rentals.
The Orenthals. Rental is a property on Monopoly. I don't think you can say Oriental no more.
So you can't say that no more. That's how that game is like totally changed over time. Because mm-hmm. It was easy to say Oriental. No, they probably wouldn't change it, right? They haven't changed it on Monopoly, right?
No, I don't think so. They just made like 8,000 other Monopolies. So you can forget about their original.
Yeah, then you don't have to even get the version with Oriental.
They got debit cards on Monopoly
now. Yeah, I don't like that. I've ever told you I don't like that shit? Yeah, I don't like the debit
shit. It's confusing.
Yeah, because I like to do cash deals under the table. I like to be able to do other shit.
I like the most IRS-unfriendly Monopoly game possible.
Yeah.
Unclaimed cash.
My thing is, I like to even keep people on a payment plan on me. Like, every time you cross 200, you pay me back.
Yes.
With interest. I like that. You can't do that with the debit card.
We need to have a black-ass Monopoly game.
We do, though. Because we had that black-ass Monuno game, which was fun as hell.
Yeah.
That night.
Yeah.
We need to organize this and figure this out. Especially over the holidays.
Black-ass game, though.
All right, but thank y'all for listening, as always. We will be back next week. Peace.